The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me? Jesus said to him in reply, Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Today, on the feast of the baptism of the Lord, we hear the mighty and majestic voice of the Father speaking to his Son in these words, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The feast of the baptism of the Lord is the hinge between the Christmas season and ordinary time. Today we close out the Christmas season and we enter once again into the ordinary pace of Christian life. We need to understand that the baptism of Jesus, while it opens the door into ordinary time, is connected to Epiphany, which we celebrated last week. Today, we become witnesses to an Epiphany, to the manifestation of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The scene is dramatic. Here we are, at the edge of the Jordan River, listening to the water flowing down the stream. Jesus convinces John to do the baptism to fulfill all righteousness. The rushing water looks cold, and Jesus gives a gasp of shock as he comes up from full submersion. Suddenly, there's a piercing light from above, staining our eyes with its radiance. Our hearts swell with peaceful calm as we catch sight of a radiant dove descending upon Jesus. From the cloudless sky, a peal of thunder rumbles across the waters of the Jordan, the voice of the Father declaring, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Upon hearing these words, our hearts fill with wonder at the mighty and majestic voice of God. The light fades away, and we are left standing in awe, wondering, what does this vision mean? What does it all mean? How do we understand this vision, this epiphany moment, this manifestation of God's glory? We could, of course, meditate on this moment in the scriptures for hours, and God would reveal a treasury of insights about the inner life of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is, however, only one message that God desires to impart upon us today. It is a simple but deep message. The message is this. Jesus desires to have solidarity with us sinners. Jesus desires to have solidarity with us sinners. John the Baptist is offering a baptism of repentance. John is not offering a sacramental baptism, but a baptism that symbolizes and prefigures sacramental baptism. Jesus, by insisting that John baptize him, is symbolizing a repentance of sin, But Jesus is not a sinner. Jesus is showing us that he desires to share in our condition, to have solidarity with us sinners. St. Paul explains it this way in his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "He who knew no sin became sin for our sake." It is in this moment of Jesus' baptism where Jesus demonstrates an intense solidarity with us that we witness an incredible epiphany of the Holy Trinity, hearing the Father speak, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." What is the Father pleased about? He is pleased that his Son is willing to stand in solidarity with us sinners. This is the radical love of God. The Father loves us so much that he gives to us his only Son. After receiving John's baptism of repentance, after our Lord receives the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he immediately goes out into the desert where he is tempted by Satan. Thus, Jesus proves that he subjected himself to every aspect of our condition. Jesus desired to be in solidarity with us, even experiencing temptation. Though he himself never gave in to sin, he experienced the devastating effects of sin. Throughout his life, Jesus experienced hunger, thirst, exhaustion, poverty, grief, physical suffering, emotional abuse, abandonment, and even death. Death on a cross. The baptism of the Lord is the beginning of his public ministry, but it points to the fulfillment of his mystery in his passion, death, and resurrection. How do we know this? How do we know that the baptism of Jesus points to his ultimate solidarity with us, his crucifixion? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus describes his passion in the terminology of baptism. He says, "There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished." He's speaking of his passion. Jesus greatly desired to undergo a baptism of blood. On the cross, Jesus was buried under the dark waters of death and drowned our sins forever. Yet he did not stay under the chaotic waters of death, but rose out of the waters in his resurrection on the third day. The pattern of Jesus' baptism, which we celebrate today, is the pattern of our own baptism. In baptism, we go down with Christ into the waters of death, and our sins are drowned in those waters. And because we have gone down with Christ, we also come up from the waters together with him. This is what St. Paul meant when he said to the Romans, "We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life." And just as at Jesus' baptism the mighty and majestic voice of the Father spoke, so too at your baptism the Father thundered out in joyous love of you, "Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The mystery that we are celebrating today is the immense love of God. God loves you, and he claims you as his beloved. Jesus, out of love, unites himself intimately with you in all your joys and sufferings. The Holy Spirit comes down upon you, anointing you for the mission of proclaiming God's kingdom. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. With this in mind, then, make regular renewal of the promises of your baptism. to reject temptation, sin, and the lies of Satan, and to profess the faith which we all share, the faith which we will shortly profess together in the Nicene Creed during this Mass. The voice of the Father is mighty and majestic. Turn away from the lies and sins that deafen your ears to his voice. Turn your face to God and hear the Father speak to you, "My beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Amen.